May the words of my lips be in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you please sit down? Well, I don't know about you, but to my mind, there's something slightly odd about the lectionary this week. We've just celebrated Easter, Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, and yet our gospel for this week is part of what is called the farewell discourses, were delivered by Jesus at the Last Supper. However, there is, I think, a logic to this, in that with the benefit of hindsight, we can see that the farewell discourses are part of the way Jesus tried to prepare his disciples for his departure. But not his departure through death on the cross, because Jesus knew that he was to rise from the dead. So he was preparing them for his ascension, which we will celebrate very soon, which is when he departed this earthly life and went to heaven. Remember that Jesus knows that he's about to die. He knows that he will be spending the night in agony in the garden, and that he will be arrested, and the next day will be put on trial, and he'll be judged, not only by his own disciples, who all run away from him, but also he will be judged by the leaders, the religious leaders of the day, and also by the Romans, the secular leaders of his day. And so we can say this represents the last words and testament of Jesus. After this, and after his resurrection, it will be a different world. You can see all the disciples sitting around, feeling quite sad. He's just washed their feet. And as we know, washing the feet is a terrible thing for them, because it's the work of a slave, and it's the work of the worst slave in the house. They're the only ones that would wash feet. And there's Jesus, washing feet, and telling them that they must learn to wash feet, and that God washes feet, and they shouldn't be ashamed of it. What he means is that everything that God makes is full of great dignity and honour. And when he washes his disciples' feet, he's not playing a game with them. He's recognising their inner greatness, because they will live forever in the heart of God. He's giving them their due. And so this is where we learn the great lesson that one must learn to sacrifice and pay honour where honour is due. And it's not due to ourselves, but to those around us. For me, there is some resonance here with what we witnessed yesterday in the coronation service. Yes, there was great pomp and honour accorded to King Charles as monarch. But also there was, I think, a sense of humility on his part. A sense of the duty he has to this nation and its people. A recognition that he should defend and protect all people of faith. So yes, there was pomp, splendour and honour, but a clear recognition of the duty and service that all is under the kingship of God. And for me, one of the really poignant moments in the service yesterday was the time after the anointing, when we saw King Charles kneeling in front of the altar, having been stripped of all the robes and all the pomp and circumstance of that day, and just kneeling in front of the altar before God. And that will be an image that I'm going to hold in my mind for the rest of my life, I'm sure. Now we think about the words of Jesus. I only give you one commandment, love one another in the same way that I have loved you. And that means that you have to learn to wash each other's feet. His heart is full of sorrow because he's going to leave them. He's going to leave them in confusion. And only later, when he rises from the dead, will they begin to understand the total meaning of his coming. The incarnation of himself as man, taking on our life, taking on our difficulties, as well as the wonders of being human beings. And so he turns to them. He knows their hearts, and so he speaks heart to heart. What he says to them is, do not let your hearts be troubled. In other words, you have to have faith. You have to have faith and trust and love. You have to have faith in God. You must trust in God, and you must love God. You must have faith in me and trust me, for I and the Father are one. Do not be afraid. My Father's house has many dwelling places. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going? I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come to you again and take you to myself, so that where I am, wherever I am, you also may be. And where I am going, you know the way. Now I find this one of the most comforting of Jesus' sayings. And I always recommend it as an option for a funeral service. He's talking about after his resurrection. He will pass through death, and they will despair, or at least be on the edges of despair. But death is not the end, for he's coming back. I say this so that you might know that where I am going, you know the way. The path through death that does not end with death, but ends with resurrection. Of course, what Jesus doesn't explain is where his Father's house is, or what it looks like. Thomas spots this and says, Master, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus says to him those immortal words, Thomas, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the way. Just follow me, be with me, come with me, walk with me, love with me, care with me, forgive with me. This is the truth, that God has taken you to himself and made you one with him. And together we are to walk through the world with faith in each other and love for each other and forgiveness for each other. And this is what it means to know me is to love me. To walk with me is to share my life, and at the same time it is for me to love you and to let you not only share my life, but allow me to share yours with you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you know me, love me, trust me, and you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him because you see him all the time. And then Philip interrupts him and says, Master, show us the Father, and we'll all be happy. And Jesus says to him, Have I not been with you so long a time, so very long a time, and you still do not know me? And what he really means is, you still do not love me. You're still looking for other things. If you knew me, you would love me. If you loved me, you would know me more. And if you knew me more, you would love me more. But there's no separating knowledge, true knowledge, from love, which is true love. Says to Philip, Philip, whoever sees me sees the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, and we are together with you? Words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own. The Father who dwells within me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father dwells in me. Or else, at least, believe because of the works themselves, the works that you have seen by being with me, the works that the Father works, and he works through me. And then he goes on to tell the disciples, you too shall do. You too shall forgive. You too shall heal. You too shall be instruments of salvation. You too shall learn to love, not only your own brethren, but through the whole world. I will send you, and they will know that God exists through the works that you do. So if you are going to follow me, you must learn to work. You must learn to reach out. You must learn to wash feet. You must learn to bless. You must learn to care. You must learn to be as our Father is. A constant giver. A constant lover. And one who is destined. And you are destined to live together in eternal life. Finally, he says, Amen, Amen. I say to you, whoever believes in me, trusts in me, gives himself to me, will do the works that I do. The healing and the caring and the reaching out and the loving of your fellow human beings. You will do even greater ones than this, because I go to the Father and I leave you here, but not alone. I leave you here to carry out all that I have told you, all that God wants of you. That is to love one another as we have loved you and how you have loved us. That the world may know that there is no need to be afraid. To follow me and to be with me is to have a place with God himself. What I think we see is the struggle the disciples had to really understand what the ministry of Jesus was about. However, the reading from Acts we heard this morning presents us, I think, with a disciple who definitely did get it. At the point of death, he echoed the words of Jesus on the cross. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. He knew that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And he knew exactly where he was going, as Jesus took him home. I pray that we may all have that discernment and the confidence that that will bring us, both in this life and at the point of death. Amen.